that one before. But I know our song leader, Ernie Woodhouse, would say that if you give a hymn out when you ask for a favorite and nobody knows it, you come up and sing it as a solo. But we did real well with that, thanks to our song leader, the musicians. Would you turn, please, in the Old Testament to the second book of Kings and chapter 4. The second book of Kings and chapter 4. We'd like to start reading at verse 8. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman. And she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. And let us set for him there a bed, a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on the day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi his servant, Call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king, or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. And he said, What then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, Verily she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, Call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, Nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on the day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, My head, my head. And he said to a lad, Carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of a man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, It shall be well. Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, Drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi his servant, Behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, It is well. And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me, and hath not told me. Then she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, gird up thy loins, and take my staff in thy hand, and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any man salute thee, answer him not again, and lay my staff upon the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him, told him, saying, the child is not awake. And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. And he went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain, and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child, and put his mouth upon his mouth, and his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite. So he called her, and when she was come in unto him, he said, take up thy son. Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. Now that is a lovely story. And I want just to read a couple of verses, if you will, in 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, let's read at verse 6 of chapter 6 in 2 Corinthians. By pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. These have been called by some people the sublime paradoxes here in chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians. And the reason why I've read that to you is because the man that we're going to look at in the Old Testament was very much like the Apostle Paul in that regard, that he was poor, yet he made many rich, yet he had nothing, and yet he possessed all things. That's a paradox, but how wonderful it was that the apostle was able to walk like that before the Lord. Now, coming into the Old Testament, to this lovely portion of the Word of God, you have a man that was poor and yet made many rich. You had a man that had nothing, and yet he possessed all things. You have a man alone But a man with God, and the hymn writer said, who can stay his path? Wonderful to see this man, Elisha, so much like the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ in his walk down here below, he was able to say at one time, show me a penny. The Lord had no thought for money or worldly possessions. He was poor, and yet he made many rich. Says the apostle, we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. In order that he might tell a story and make a point to the Pharisees and the scribes, he turned round and he said to someone, show me a penny. He did not have a Roman penny or a denarius, which was the wages of a day's work in those days. He was poor, and yet he made many rich. And we're looking at a man like this in the Old Testament, this man Elisha. And this man began a walk through the apostate land of Samaria. A walk that was to be marked by absolute dependence upon his God and by a powerful walk, so that his presence and his knowledge was courted by the kings, and he was famous in the land. Nations were waiting on his word, and yet, to all intents and purposes, he had nothing. You know, when he watched his master Elijah be taken into heaven in a whirlwind, as he saw the chariot of fire that parted them on the other side of the Jordan, he said, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. These were words that characterized Elisha the prophet. And right up to the day of his death, these were the words that were spoken at his death, because the king of Israel spoke those words as the life of Elisha was going away from him. He was going to be with his Lord. He said, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. A man who apparently had nothing, and yet a man who was a powerful man in the land for his God. There is one thing that he did have, and that was the mantle of Elijah that fell from him. Now, it probably took almost 10 years, if my reckoning is correct, between the time that Elijah cast his mantle over Elisha as a plowman in the field, and then took it back, and until the time that he came on the other side of the Jordan with his master, saw him go into heaven. He never once lost the vision of an ascended man. That's what made him so powerful. That's what made him so mighty. That's what made him able to do all those things. He never lost the vision of an ascended man. You and I, if we want to serve the Lord, and I know we do, in whatever capacity God has given us and whatever talents he has given us to serve him with, we will serve him so much better if we keep in our eyes and in the right focus an ascended man, and that is the man at God's right hand. When Elisha saw him go into heaven, he was never the same again. And you see him as he received the mantle, And that mantle he took, and he went to the river Jordan, and he smote it, and he said, "Where's the Lord God of Elijah?" And the Lord God of Elijah was there. And the Lord God of Elijah had the power to bestow upon this plowman in order that he might be such a great man for God. Now, it's very noteworthy, and sometimes we overlook it, that when he came back from that experience, the Word of God says in chapter 2 that he went from thence to Mount Carmel, and from thence he returned to Samaria. Now, I have asked myself many, many times the question, why was this man so intent on going back to Mount Carmel? If you take a map and you look at it, and you'll find that it is there on the highlands overlooking the Mediterranean Sea. And the land of Samaria was adjacent to that. And yet, it is said here that Elisha, he went to Mount Carmel, and then he returned to Samaria. Now, I don't know what you think about it. And I wonder sometimes exactly what was on the mind of this great prophet, that at the outset of his ministry, at the outset of his walk through the land, he was intent on going back to Mount Carmel. You and I know the triumph of Carmel. You and I know how the apostate priests were put to flight and put to death. You and I know how God answered by fire to the altar that was raised up to the 12 tribes. You and I know that Elijah the prophet took 12 stones and he built that altar there on the top of Mount Carmel. And you might have said to Elijah when he was building that, you might have said, "Elijah, you're in the land of the 10 tribes. There's only 10 tribes here. And you're taking 12 stones to build that altar." Why? Because ever and always before the mind of Elijah was the unity of God's people. The 12 tribes, the 12 stones on the altar, bespoke the unity of the people of God. Now, I know that in that time there was disunity. 10 tribes in the northern kingdom, 2 tribes in the southern kingdom, one with its headquarters in Samaria, the other is headquarters in Jerusalem. But oh, this dear man, Elisha, kept going back to Mount Carmel. And I suggest to our hearts tonight that he wanted to live. He wanted to thrill hour by hour in the victory that was gained upon the top of the mount. But he wanted to lament the fact that the tribes were in disunity and there was a rift between them. And he wanted to long for the unity of the people of God. And as he would look out over Mount Carmel, look out over the sea there, he would be wondering just what he would be able to do in the mind of God to unite these people. And so he commenced a walk through the land of Israel. What a lovely walk it was. It was a quiet walk. It was a walk that didn't draw attention to himself. It was a walk in search of those he could help and those he could minister to. And then it says he not only went back again after the translation of his master to Mount Carmel, but he returned again to Samaria. Now, on Mount Carmel, we know that Elijah gained a tremendous victory, but we know that he fled from before Jezebel's threat, and we know that he considered he was a complete failure. And that's why he wanted to die. And that's why the Lord told him that he had reserved 7,000 men in Israel, all the knees that had never bowed to Baal or kissed his image. There was discouragement there, because he had taken his eyes away from the place in which it should be fixed. And I'm sure that Elisha wanted to do this. I'm sure that's why he was found so often in Carmel, because he wanted to dwell on these wonderful things. Now, we're going to go just for a few minutes to the city of Shunem. And the city of Shunem lay on the main highway between Samaria and Mount Carmel. It was directly in line with Mount Carmel, maybe, if I could judge it right from the map, 20 miles distant. And Elisha went back and forth along this highway in his walk through the earth. And the word of God says it fell on a day. Now, I think three times in this chapter that we read, it just simply says it fell on a day. Now, I know that the other translations wouldn't put it that way. But to me, it's very precious. It fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem. It wasn't just an accident that he took that journey that day. It wasn't just something that didn't really matter. Well, it just happened, so to speak. It fell on a day, and three times in this chapter, it says the same thing. And I want to say to you today that this was directly in the program of God, that God had made it a meeting place between the great prophet and the great woman of Shunem. And so as he passed that way, between Shunem and Mount Carmel, that this great woman observed his walk. Now, what do you suppose it was that made this woman great? It is said in David's time, in the book of Samuel, that Nabal the Carmelite was very great. With the amount of possessions that he had. Now, I want to suggest to your heart that this woman of Shunem, that the Holy Spirit calls a great woman, was a woman of some stature. And her husband was a man, of course, that probably would be in the upper class. He was a farmer. He was a successful one. He had people in his employ. And I want to say that this great woman of Shunem was great in the respect that her husband was standing among people of that class. But I want also to say, and as you well know, she was great because she had spent time in the presence of God. That she was a woman of perception. She was a woman who wanted to do something for God. And there in the city of Shunem, as it lay on the way to Mount Carmel, here she wanted to be every part of a great woman. A spiritually minded woman. A woman of substance. And you know how like Abigail she was. On the one part, Abigail had a a very rich husband. But a husband who was not in the mind and the will of God at all. But now, the woman of Shunem, the woman of substance, the woman of perception, she had a husband that was in the same mind that she was. And this was a wonderful thing for us to see. So as the prophet walked, or as he rode, I'm not sure, the scripture doesn't say, it says he passes by this way continually, back and forth towards Carmel. And you know, I thought so much about that and wondered just why that was. I feel that this man was intent on being a successful God and putting his God first and not seeming to be discouraged and disillusioned as his master was at that particular time. And so, as he passed by, this woman perceived that he was a holy man of God that passed by continually. Now, I want to point out something here. She said this to her husband. And I want to see in the life of this woman of Shunem a complete trust and regard for her husband. This is something now that's sadly lacking in the world today. This is what is bringing ruin to many, many families and lives. But here is a man and his wife. And they're in agreement together about this thing. And both of them could see that the man that passed their house was a man of God, a holy man of God, she says. Now, Elisha was walking through the land. And as he walked, he attracted the attention of those that were spiritually minded to know that he was a man of God. You know, wouldn't it be nice if you and I could be found like that, that as we walked, that people would perceive in our walk that we were a man or a woman of God? Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't it be nice to have the perception to recognize this in someone else? And you know, as we go around the assemblies and as we work among the people of God, we can see this in very beautiful strains. We see those that are walking a godly walk. And that's what happened here. So she said to her husband, "Let's invite him into the house to eat bread." And there she opened her home to the man of God. And every time that he passed by would come in and enjoy the hospitality of that home. Now, when you look at the Word of God and you find these things, you remember that Martha, when she saw the Lord Jesus Christ going backwards and forwards in the town of Bethany, she invited him into her house. What a wonderful thing this was for her. To entertain the Lord of life and glory. Can you ever believe that? Can you just enter into that? She entertained Jesus in her home. And this is exactly what this woman of Shunem did. This was one of the things that made her great, and the Spirit of God put on this page that she was a great woman. It's not said about very many, but it is said about some. And it can be said about us as we seek to work and to walk for God. And then she said, "Let's make him a little chamber on the wall. And let us set for him their bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. Now, I don't know whether you remember reading these chapters very well, but in a preceding chapter, Elisha was the guests of the three kings in their pavilions. And you and I have some idea of the pomp and ceremony that went on in the pavilions of these kings. And they went to seek him because he was there to tell them that the Lord would deliver them out of the hand of their enemies, and he was a guest in their wonderful tents. And amongst the opulent kings, there was Elisha as the honored guest, enjoying all the bounties of the kings. And yet, here's a woman that's providing for him these simple things, just a bed and a stool and a chair and a candlestick. These were the symbols of humility, were they not? And she was a woman who perceived the humility in the life and conduct of this prophet. Nothing fancy, just the bare needs for this man. And every time he came past, he turned in thither to enjoy the quiet and the comfort of this very lowly room. Now, I want to suggest to you that this woman, in her social standing, could have provided much more for him. But her spiritually mindedness taught her that this was a humble man. This was a man that could meet this criteria. And this humble place was a place that would minister to his needs. Now, I want to say this too, that she said to her husband, let us make this for him. Not just, I'll go ahead and do it. She said to her husband, let us make this room ready for him. And there was a godly union between her and her husband. They agreed on the things of God, and oh, how lacking this is in many cases today. And so then, it tells you in the Word again, it fell on a day that he turned in thither to rest. Here's the prophet and his servant now coming in to rest. And he says to his servant, with all this that has been done for us, what shall we do for her? Now, here's the man that had nothing and yet possessed all things, that was poor and yet he was rich, and he made others rich. Now he says, what can we do for her? And the servant said, she hasn't a child, and her husband is old. It was the same story again of Abraham and Sarah, the same kind of household, the same kind of promise was given to this woman that was given to Abraham and Sarah away on the plains of Mamre. And he calls this woman, and he says, about the time of life, you shall embrace a son. Ah, she said, don't deceive me. Don't deceive me. In the natural way, it was impossible. But all things are possible with God. And here's a man walking with nothing but his God, and that was all that he really needed. There he was going to bring joy to the heart of this dear woman. And he promised the son would come, and the son did come. And she embraced the child. The son of promise. Now, Elisha had brought into that home the quickening power of his God. You see, with God, all things are possible. And he is a God that quickens. And he quickened in the body of that dear woman till a son was born, just exactly the same as he did in Abraham and Sarah's time. The son was given from God. It was a son of promise. What a joy it must have been to that household. In Hebrews 11, it tells us that Sarah received strength to conceive seed, and she was delivered of a son because she judged him faithful who had promised. So did the great woman of Shunem, the very same thing. But now, just as Isaac was placed on the altar, the son of promise was to be given back to God. So in the life of the Shunammite, this son of promise was going to be taken from her. So it says again the third time, it fell on a day. It fell on a day when he went out to his father to the reapers. Now, why do you think that the Spirit of God is so careful here to tell you where he went and to tell you what was going on at the place where he went? He went out to his father to the reapers. Now, what did he see there? He saw there the product of death, burial, and resurrection. He saw there, and it was obvious to everyone that was there, that a seed had been planted. A seed had died. It had come up, and it had brought forth much fruit. There was the picture, as Paul describes it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The lesson in botany that he gave to us. And here, the Lord Jesus Christ had already said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And there the seed had been sown. The seed had sprung up and brought abundantly, and they were reaping the harvest, and it was there, at that point, that that child received, so to speak, a death blow, because he was taken back to his home and he died within the first part of the hours of that day. The son that was promised had been taken away. Isaac that was promised had been laid on the altar but had been given back in resurrection, and Abraham believed God that even if that son was taken, that God was able to bring him back. And so we see this woman setting off. Wherefore? Mount Carmel. That's what it tells you here. She asked her husband to make ready the asses and the men, just as Abraham made ready the asses and the men to go to Moriah. And the husband said to her, why do you want to go today? Neither new moon nor Sabbath. What's the hurry? Why do you want to go to the man of God? She said, it shall be well. Imagine the faith that was in the heart of this woman. She knew this, that God had promised her a son, and God was able to bring him back, and the seeds of resurrection were to be seen not only in the field with the reapers, but in the home in Shunem. And here she goes to Mount Carmel. Now, I don't know why he was there at Mount Carmel. We've expressed some thoughts about it. But there he was again, and she took that journey, quite a long journey perhaps, to see him. And he says, yonder is this Shunammite. And he says to his servant, and these are very striking words now. He says, you take my staff and you go. You don't stop for anybody. You don't answer anybody's questions. You go right away and you lay this staff on the face of the child. And the dear woman of Shunem, is that sufficient for you? Is this what you came for? No, she said. As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. Now that's the focal point of this woman's faith. What was it that Elisha said to Elijah when he said, now you stay here because the Lord has sent me to Jericho. You abide here and the Lord has sent me to Bethel. He said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. He wasn't going to leave out of his sight the man that was going to heaven. And with the woman of Shunem, she wasn't concerned about Gehazi's staff. She wasn't concerned about his mission. All she was concerned about was keeping her eye and her faith on someone who had seen an ascended man. Keeping her eye on the man that was going to show her the power of resurrection. And you know the story very well. I've no need to pursue it any further. How that the prophet went into the house and he closed the door. Very, very often now in the life of Elisha, as you read the word of God, he does these things behind closed doors. It was as though he wanted to shut the world out and shut the Lord and his presence in. And there the son was returned to the mother in resurrection. Now someone has wrote about this, and I read it in my searching, that the woman of Shunem wasn't a bit surprised when Elisha returned the son. She took the son and she went away. It doesn't say any more about that. That she was confident that the God who had promised that son was able to give that son back. And the God that quickened that son in her womb was the God of resurrection. That's why she was the great woman of Shunem, is it not? Now, he is a quickening God. He is a God of resurrection. But the Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesians in chapter 2. And he says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. And dear fellow believers, this is the truth of what the gospel has done for us and what the gospel can do for others. It can quicken us and make us alive in Christ. And I don't know if there would be any in the meeting tonight that doesn't know the Savior as their very own Savior. But the Lord is able, the Lord who died upon the cross of Calvary to give life and to quicken the dead in Christ. Dead in trespasses and sins, bring them alive into the presence of God. This is the God that is able to raise. But all, that's the woman that had the faith. And oh, may we have the same faith in the same quickening God, in the same God of resurrection that she had as we seek to live our lives for him. We can be great in that respect. Now shall we bow in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how we thank thee tonight for this lovely, simple story that has been recorded in the pages of thy book, and yet what tremendous lessons it has for us. We pray that as we go to our homes, we might ponder these things. And we might vow that our lives will count more for God as we keep going in the days, as we wait for his coming again. So, our Father, bless the assembly here. We pray earnestly for it, that you will bless those who are so diligent here and those who love the Lord so well, and that you will increase their numbers, enlarge their coast, Lord, and bless them as they work for thee. And so we give thee thanks for the opportunity to be here. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.